This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, Someone to Watch Over Me.
Okay, Someone to Watch Over Me, the title. And I came to the title because it speaks to me of the basic human need that people have to be loved and cared for. You couldn't exist without love. You couldn't exist without somebody's care. Money can't buy genuine, unselfish, loving care. Think of all those folks who work in a nursing home and the sacrifice they make. You know they don't make a lot of money, and you know that many of them are not in it for the money, and you know that there's a difference when you are being cared for by somebody who's in it because it's the job versus somebody who is in it because they have love. And they care. I saw that in some of the people up where Sue Angelo is. In speaking to them, it was a mission for them to be there. They were doing God's work. And when you're in the hands of somebody like that, the treatment you get is vastly different by just somebody who's punching a time card and just doing their thing. I remember when I was a chaplain at Hagedorn Psychiatric Hospital. As a chaplain in Hagedorn Hospital, we had a reputation there of giving boutique care to the folks who were resident. And they knew it. Eventually, when the hospital was closed, they were dispersed to a lot of the big nurse hospitals. And they didn't get that personalized, boutique, small family-type care. And they missed it. You can't miss that kind of love. It's a comforting feeling to know in this life, with all its surprises, disappointments, pain, despair, that you're not alone as you go through those seasons. Because as the sermon says, and I believe, and I pray you do too, someone is watching over you. Let's go back about 2,000 years ago, and I want to remind you of that starry night on that hillside on the city of Nazareth, while there is a hush in the air. But there is also a sense of anticipation. It's a pivotal moment in human history. It's the birth of Jesus, Luke 2:8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Think about that absolutely delicious divine irony. Here are these shepherds, as you see in that picture, watching over these sheep, making sure they're protected. And really, unbeknownst to them at that particular moment, they were in walking distance of worshiping the one whom the scripture calls the Lamb of God, who would take away the sins of the world. This Christ child would grow up to be what the Bible calls him, the great and good shepherd. He in turn would watch over these shepherds. They were watching over the sheep. Moments later, they're worshiping Christ. And then for the rest of their lives and through eternity, the great good shepherd was going to be watching over them and you and me. So I want to examine our relationship to Christ through the prism of that shepherd and sheep relationship. And I want to take you to a text you know very, very well, Psalm 23. So it's going to be up here in PowerPoint. Would you stand with me as I read it to you? The relationship you and I have with Jesus Christ, our Savior, is a personal relationship. Think about this. Part of the Trinity, he's God who came in the flesh, but he was there at creation. He did his part as the Holy Spirit did his part at creation. This great creator God who built this, who brought life to this, who promised that this planet was built to be inhabited and that he would guarantee life would be here and he would satisfy all the needs of what it takes to live. That creator God has a personal relationship with you, even more personal than he had with the angels. Personal. It's not a religion. Religion is not personal. It's corporate. Religion can't save you. Religion wasn't the one that hung on a cross. Religion was the one that was placed in the grave. Religion did not raise from the dead on the third day. The person of Jesus Christ did that. And it's that person that has a relationship with you. John 10:3 says that Jesus, the great and good shepherd, calls his sheep by name. Okay, when you have a personal relationship with you, and somebody walks into a room, you usually address them by their name. And you know their name. That person becomes someone that you know pretty well. Jesus knows your name. And you say, well, how in the world could that be? There are billions on the planet. There have been billions upon billions of Christians. There are a billion, who knows how many Christians, actual real Christians living on the planet right now, and he knows all their names. Isaiah 49:1. The Lord has called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. Think about that. While you were in the womb, he knew your name, before your parents ever named you. Psalm 71, verse 6. By thee have I been holden up. I've been upheld from the womb. He's watched over you. He's known you from the womb, and that relationship will continue all the way through the tomb. Who knows you better than the one that made you? Who knows you better than the Lord? Okay, he knows you better. He knows you the best. He knows you better than you do. He knows all your strengths and weaknesses. He knows all your ups and downs. He knows your secrets. He knows your story. And guess what? He still loves you unconditionally. Who could say that? You know, when some people find out about, you know, that there's more to a particular person that they like, and they find out there are things about that person they don't like, they drop them like a hot potato. But Jesus would never do that to you. Once you are a child of Christ, he will never abandon you. He will never separate himself from you. He'll never throw you out of the house. Verses 1 to 3 of Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What do you want? More importantly, what do you really need? I mean, we're clinging to a lot of things that we don't need. One of the biggest industries, I've told you this before, one of the biggest industries in America today are storage units. And what are they filled with? All the stuff we thought we needed, absolutely, that we really don't need now. And we don't know what to do with it. And so we found a place to pay money to have somebody take care of the stuff that we thought we needed, and we really didn't. And it's rotting over there. Many basic human needs are true of all living creatures. We need safety, we need security, we need food, shelter, companionship, love, and a higher sense of purpose. You need to know why you exist, why are you here? The shepherd sought out green pastures, the tender green grasses which also provided fresh water and rest. When found, those were the places where sheep would be free from harm. Jesus wants the same for you. He wants you to find peace and rest in his word as you go through tumultuous times. This is a book of comfort. Amen? Have you gone to God's word in the times of trouble? Have you found him to be true? Have you found his psalms or promises? And have you claimed those promises? This is a place of rest. As the quality of sheep's life was indelibly linked to their shepherd, so is the quality of the believer's life in Christ. Hosea chapter 11 verse 4. Hosea 11:4. I drew them with cords of a man with bands of love. God loves us so much he ties us to him. And the cords that tie us to him are love. Not prison. Not a straitjacket, love. We're linked to God with cords of love that can't be broken. These cords of his love tie all our hearts and hurts to him. We're never cut off from his care or his love. We can never outdistance ourselves from sensing his presence. But he keeps his promise never to leave us, never to forsake us, never to abandon us in times of trouble. If you don't feel God's nearness, you need to ask yourself, is it me? Have I separated myself from him? Have I grown cold and distant? Have I stopped praying? Have I stopped studying God's word? Have I ever picked up the Bible? Have I ever really prayed? Have I gone to him not just when I was desperate, but when I was joyous? Have I awakened in the morning before my feet went to the ground and said, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for watching over me through the night. Prepare my day. Give me a divine opportunity, an appointment to meet somebody. Help them understand who Jesus is. Missionary explorer David Livingstone writes this. I was enabled to go on in Africa. He was a great explorer. I was enabled to go on because I had the word of a perfect gentleman, Jesus Christ, never known to break a promise that he would be with me always. Can you picture yourself in the jungles of Africa, tracing rivers and whatnot, only come to a place where you're absolutely alone? He wasn't. He could go on because he knew that Christ was with him. One key characteristic of sheep is the fact that they are defenseless. Defenseless. In the presence of danger, they flee. They don't fight. Presence of a good shepherd and the nature of his care is to fight for us. The shepherd, like David, would fight the bear. He'd fight the lion. He'd fight the intruder. He'd fight the thief. He'd stand there and fight. And when giants come into your life, the giants of despair, of hopelessness, of fear, of guilt, of loneliness, Jesus comes along. And you're about ready to give it up, and you're about ready to throw in the towel, he's right here. Why do you feel you have to make this decision by yourself? Why do you have to feel that nobody understands? Why do you have to feel there's no hope? Why do you have to feel I'm going through this all by myself? Or where is God? He's right here. He's in. His word will speak to you. So many don't think of themselves as in need of someone other than themselves to fight a battle because we think of ourselves as being very strong. Maybe so. But some trials can be much stronger than us. And in fact, can overshadow us. You thought you could handle whatever situation came your way. You were pretty sure you were prepared for anything but one day. In every person's life, there is a one day. I used to say, and I still say from time to time, one telephone call can change your life. One phone call about a terrible accident, about someone who's in the ER, about someone who's passed. One phone call can change your life. But for each of us, one day, there's a dark cloud on the horizon. It doesn't seem ominous at a particular moment. It just seems like, hey, there's a dark cloud. Maybe it's going to rain. But it's so far away. I'm not worried. I have nothing to fear. But as that black cloud begins to rumble closer to begin you, you begin to realize that you're not in for a shower. You're in for a storm. Sometimes the reality of our circumstance is so overwhelming. It occupies every moment of our thinking and waking life. We become obsessed with how big it is. Again, the concept of it's a giant and it wants to destroy you. You begin to realize as you go through this storm that this is more pain, more sorrow, more draining, more serious, more difficult than anything you've ever had to bear before. And you say to yourself, I simply can't do what needs to be done. I'm afraid. I'm discouraged. I want to quit. You cry. You scream. You beat your fists against the wall. And then at some point, you pray. Not an easy prayer. Not a pretty prayer. Kind of a messy. More like a prayer being cried out to God. It's pain. No, it's drenched in your tears. Have you ever cried that hard? Difference between crying and weeping. When Jesus wept, the shortest verse of the Bible, everything from the inside poured out of him. There was no room for anything else but anguish and tears over the people. Wasn't praying tears for himself. He was praying for them. and wanting a relationship with them. He prays and cries for you. You don't cry alone. I mean, Jesus wept. There it is. And he was a man's man. For those who think that men don't cry, real men don't cry, no, maybe Jesus doesn't cry, but he'll sure weep for you in the stillness of that particular moment when you've just about given up. Back on the horizon of your imagination, you see a ray of sunlight. And then you hear the whispered voice out of the pages of Scripture. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. And look, be strong, be of good courage. Be not afraid. Be not dismayed. Why? Why, God? Do you know what I'm going through? Why? Answer. For the Lord, thy God, is with thee wherever you go. Wherever you go geographically, wherever you go emotionally, wherever you go in your mind's worst imagination, he's there with you. He said, if I were in hell, I'd be there. If you were on a mountaintop, I'll be there. In other words, he's not the kind of friend that abandons you when things go wrong. The Bible says he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Suddenly, you feel his presence, his encouragement, his strong arm enveloping you, and you know you have enough of what God has for you to make it through today. When I was chaplain in Hagedorn Psychiatric Hospital, I prayed each time I went up there and each group I met, Lord, just give me one thing to encourage them, to let them know that God will get them through today. You have all that you need just to make it through today. Tomorrow, we'll take care of yourself. Yesterday, nothing we can do about it. But right here, right now, today, you have enough of whatever God knows you need to get through today. Take it one day at a time. Don't borrow from tomorrow's troubles. Today, and let God work through today, right here, right now, this moment, and the moments to follow in this day. Not every situation will end up the way we would like it to. You may be praying for something and it's not working out the way you want it to. But I can promise you this. I've been through those times. Any Christian has. And here's what I found out. That when it didn't go my way, it inevitably went God's way. And when I looked back and I saw that it went God's way, I rejoiced. And I said, okay, if that thing had ever gone my way, I would be in some fine mess. There are times when the ultimate healing is death. If we were just thinking logically about a situation, it would be bleak indeed. But we are more than logical. As followers of Christ, we have faith. We have hope. And we have trust in the one who keeps his promise. Verse 4 of Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The ultimate death. Someone wrote, death is the big flaw. Sometimes we can postpone it, lessen its physical pains, deny its existence, but we can't escape it. Not a single person standing in front of you, nor the one standing in front of me, is going to get out of this alive unless the rapture comes. Amen?
Amen.
Some approach death dealing with fear, others with hope. Some joke about it, like the unfunny director Woody Allen, who said, it's not that I'm afraid to die, I just don't want to be there when it happens. I don't see how that's so funny. At the end of a monastery tour, an enlightened atheist said to the monk guide, if God doesn't exist, and I believe he doesn't, then you will have wasted your whole life. The monk smiled. If I am wrong, I will have wasted my life, at most 50, 70 years. If you're wrong, you will have wasted eternity. The difference in how we think about death is contained in verse 4. Death for the Christian is not a period. It's a comma. Not the end, just the beginning. We don't die alone during those final moments on earth. God is with us, and we're surrounded by his angels, and we can hear the voice of God calling us home. So many of the ones we've loved in our congregation this year have gone home to be with the Lord. I see people sitting right in these pews here who've gone home to be with the Lord. Yes, we miss them. Yes, we grieve, but as the scripture says, we don't grieve like those who have no hope. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt that those who have left us here on earth, we will join in heaven. And if you believe that, if you know that, beyond the shadow of a doubt, it changes everything. As Adolf Hitler and the Nazis seduced the nation, bullied a continent, and attempted to exterminate the Jews of Europe, a small number of dissidents and saboteurs worked to dismantle the Third Reich from the inside. One of those was a pastor and author named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I pray you didn't forget that name, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He would not give in to the threats made against his life to stop preaching against the corrupt government system and its leader, Adolf Hitler. Hitler himself ordered that Dietrich Bonhoeffer be executed by hanging. Listen to this account by the prison doctor who observed Bonhoeffer's final moments. Quote, "Through the half-open door in one room of the huts, I saw Pastor Bonhoeffer, before taking off his prison garb, kneeling on the floor, praying fervently to his God. I was most deeply moved by the way this lovable man prayed, so devout, so certain that God heard his prayer. At the place of execution, he again said a short prayer and then climbed the steps to the gallows, brave, composed. His death followed in a few seconds. In almost 50 years that I worked as a doctor, I have hardly ever seen a man die so entirely submissive to the will of God." End quote. Why is that? Why is that? Because Bonhoeffer knew, and God and Bonhoeffer believed, that God keeps his promises. Verse 6 of our text, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Philippians 4:20, "For our conversation, think of it as citizenship, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." In heaven, the promise of heaven closes out the 23rd Psalm, that we will be in the house of the Lord forever. One more story for you this morning. Astronaut Colonel James B. Irwin, a believer, was only one of a dozen or so people who ever walked on the moon. Think about that. Think about what you see there. Think about this. There's nobody else there. I mean, this, you want to talk about alone? There is literally no other human being, not on the street, not in the corner, not in the meeting house, on the planet. You want to imagine the feeling of loneliness that must have accompanied this guy? But he wrote something, and he said something which was later subscribed. Quote, "Jesus himself is preparing all of us who know him and love him for a most distant journey, more distant even than the trip to the moon. The Lord wants us to be where he is throughout eternity." I mean, if people believe that stuff, that, you know, you climb a mountain to get higher and closer to God. This boy was really closer in that regard, geographically. And even he knew that there was something that was a promise, that he was going to go home to heaven. The great shepherd, the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, leads his flock ultimately to the finest of pastures, the cleanest and clearest of waters, the place of safety and peace, unattainable in this life. No more sickness, no more fear, no more death, no more guilt, no more troubles hanging over your head, no more looking over your shoulder to wonder what people are saying, no more sorrows, Yiddish word for trouble, and aggravation. All things that make earth unlovely and tragic will be absent in heaven. That's where we are heading if we follow our shepherd, the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. Here's his promise, and you should know this by now. John 14:1-3. Let not, take it on yourself, let not your heart be troubled. Are you troubled today? There's something you can do about it. Don't let it. Something bothering you today? Something hurting you today? Frustrating you today? Filling you with sorrow, fear, loneliness, anger, whatever? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You have a reservation. You have a reservation. You've got a ticket. You're all set. When we go on trips, sometimes we make a reservation in advance, and sometimes we just say, well, let's see what happens. If we can find a hotel someplace. Well, it's not going to be like that for you and me with regard to our final destination in heaven. You've got a reservation, period. Doesn't matter when you get there. If you get there early in the morning, the room will be ready. If you get there late at night, the room will be ready. If you're just a baby, the room is ready. If you're middle-aged, the room is ready. If you're an alta taka, an older person, your room is ready. Don't be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled. Why? Because it's a promise. This is a promise made to you by the one who's watching over you right now and has made a promise. I'm the one to watch over you now and for eternity. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't get so depressed and so stressed. Let not your heart be troubled. Take it by the throat. Say, don't trouble me. The Father is watching over me. Let's pray.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.